Steve Dale back with you on WGN. I am so excited, not only because my friend, former alderman from the 46th Ward, James Keppelman, is in the studio. Burton Cummings is going to be on the show next week from the Guess Who, you know, These Eyes and all these songs. Laughing was one. I should know the names of all of them, but he should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, but he'll be here next week. But right now, James Keppelman, who just is literally hot off, quite literally hot off, the Gay Pride Parade. So you were telling me off the air that you've been marching in this parade since 1888?
Well, close, 1988.
Oh, I was close. Has the parade changed over the years, I imagine?
Dramatically. It was much smaller at the time I started marching. But back then, AIDS was really hitting the gay community. So we really rallied together, mainly because of HIV and AIDS, how it just decimated. I think over a third of my friends died.
All right. I'm glad you brought that up, because I want to talk about that just for a moment. I know that many people think that it's not an issue anymore and that it doesn't exist because we don't hear about it, but I'm not sure that's true.
Well, we are hoping to have a cure, but what's happening right now in our federal government...
There's drug treatments, right?
Yes, there's drug treatments that makes it so that a person with HIV is not able to transmit it. So there's some great things happening, and we know very few people who die from HIV.
It's treatable now.
It's much more treatable.
But it's not curable.
It's not curable. So we have other parts of the world where, especially in Africa, where our whole populations are just still getting decimated.
Really? And you were about to say something.
It's
probably about government
so
cutbacks.
Government has cut back, so we're worried about that. The Pride Parade started really was just all banding together. I mean, at the time I joined, you could get fired for being openly gay. That's why I left the teaching profession, because I had a friend who was fired and for just being at a Pride Parade. So I knew it was just a matter of time before I was going to get fired. So I became a social worker. Because I thought, you know, as a social worker, they'd be more accepting of my sexual orientation.
1988?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had, so that if you went to a gay bar for an election, you could get arrested for being at the gay bar. So a lot of us, when we went to gay bars, we went to bars that had a bathroom window in it, so you could escape.
And, say that again?
Yeah, so you could escape, because if you were arrested for being at a gay bar, your name would be published in the newspapers, and after your name was published, you would be fired.
From anything?
From your employment, because you could be fired for being gay. So I'm a member of Dignity Chicago. It's an LGBT Catholic organization. We gave a card so that when you were arrested, someone could bail you out.
And what exactly were they arresting you for?
For being at a gay bar.
Wow. And I do even remember that the front faces of those bars, they were all the glass. You couldn't see.
Yes, we were afraid.
Yeah. I mean, I remember that. And I don't know, I mean, we're friends, but I don't know if you know the story. So I covered entertainment for the Tribune. And I go back enough years doing that when the whole AIDS thing was a thing, and some entertainment reporters would not go to gay bars to cover something that was going on in the entertainment world. And I was not the first entertainment reporter, the second, or the Tribune then had a big staff, and there were like four or five entertainment people, and I was number four or five on the list. I mean, I was a young guy, you know, I should have been number four or five. But I would actually volunteer to go to those places because other people were afraid to do it.
Yes, they were afraid they could get infected.
Yes.
Back in 1988, I founded a homeless shelter for people with HIV because at the time, they could not go to nursing homes. And we needed a place for them to die because their families were rejecting them. So it was a shelter that allowed people to die in the shelter rather than on the streets because they could not go to a nursing home. Nursing homes are afraid. All the patients get afraid and leave. So to stay in business, they would not accept HIV/AIDS patients.
So this conversation has taken a turn in a yes. direction I never wanted it. But I'm happy to talk about this. So the Gay Pride Parade is so much fun.
Yes.
And people were screaming and throwing beads and doing all these other things, wearing a lot of bright different colors, right?
Yes.
Do sometimes people forget what the purpose of this really was when it all began?
You know,
Or are too young to remember and don't necessarily understand what the point of it is or was.
A part of me thinks that because people in their 20s, they have no clue what men, gay men, and actually the LGBT community in there who are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, what we went through. It's a whole different world. However, when I was at the parade today, all the cheering, it reminded me that it is still a big thing for a lot of people to come out.
I'm sure true. Having said that, it's also an opportunity today for, I bet, our mayor was there, Mayor Johnson. I bet that anyone running for any political office was there. I bet any alderman that has a ward anywhere near
yes.
where the parade route is was there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's very much changed in that sense,
yes.
I suspect.
Yes.
You know, all our sports teams were there. And in fact, it's gotten so big, isn't there a lottery that you necessarily can't get in?
That's true. So, I mean, and we were number like 134, and I think there were 150 slots. And
yeah.
we could only have four people in our group.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's just gotten so... But that's a good thing,
yes.
I suppose.
Yes.
All right, so I also wanted to talk to you. Let's talk about this. So you're the former 46th Ward Alderman. When you became alderman, there actually in Chicago were two gay aldermen, outrightly gay aldermen.
Yeah, Tom Tunney was the first, I was the second.
Yeah, now there's like 72 of them, I think.
I have lost count. And that is amazing.
But it's a good thing,
yes.
I guess.
Here right? I am, a gay man, and I have lost count of how many LGBTQ aldermen we have in city council. That's amazing.
And it's not that long. What, 2 years that you've been out?
It's not that long.
Yeah, you retired as the alderman 46th Ward, which is a part of Lakeview,
yes.
and also Uptown. You retired because...
It is a tough job.
When do people not realize what you guys do?
I don't think they do. For me, it was wonderful to have one evening home a week. I mean, I was on 24/7. I mean, I would get calls 11, 12 at night.
Same for all aldermen or women?
Most of us are really, really busy. It's easily 60, 70, 80 hours a week. And then if there's an election, you're campaigning.
Yeah. And raising money for that campaign
yes.
beforehand.
Yes.
You know, which must feel like a grind. So many of your colleagues retired
yes.
around the time you did. Now, and I don't think you mind me saying it, you're also of retirement age, but so many aldermen and women, alders, is that the proper terminology now?
No,
what's
most people do say
correct?
Aldermen. So
okay.
It's just, I don't know. It's the same thing with the LGBTQIA plus community. And now they added another
letter,
consonant. Yeah, so I don't know what it is.
So do that again, LGBTQ.
Right now it's LGBTQIA+.
What's IA
plus.
For?
Intersex is one, and is asexual.
I thought they were just doing like a dyslexic thing, and it was AI, really. I guess not.
It's just too much. So the same thing with alderman, alderwoman.
Yeah.
I wanted to say council member. It's just too much.
All right. We'll talk about why it might have been too much. And I also want to talk about this current state of city council, the
yes.
current state of our city. You've got a big smile on your face. I wonder why. We'll talk about that when we come back. Talking to former 46th Ward Alderman James Keppelman. Talking to a former alderman. Because, boy, oh, boy, it seems to me from where I stand, city council has changed culturally. Now, that's from where I stand. I was never an alder. So what do I know? So am I right about the observation?
Yes, you are very right about the observation.
So what has changed? Is it because of all these new guys that are and women that are there? Is it because of the mayor? Is it? And it's not necessarily good or bad. We'll talk about what specifically some of those changes are. Why do you think they have happened, the change in culture?
Well, it's happening all over the country. In 2012, I took a course at Harvard Kennedy School of Government. And they said at that time that we were entering this phase of polarization like we've not ever experienced except twice before in our country's history.
Once, right after
the Civil War,
yeah.
And once right before the Great Depression. And we're experiencing it now. And I thought, okay, it's going to happen. It's much, much, much worse than I ever dreamed possible. It is, and I've talked to some of my colleagues who are currently in office, and they say it's very difficult to work with one another because of the lack of respect they have for each other.
When you were an alderman, were there fisticuffs at city council?
Fisticuffs?
I mean, because that happened once in, the past year and a half or so.
There's
been a lot of name-calling in the media.
Yes.
That didn't occur, did it? Or if it did, it... I didn't know about it.
I never saw it. When I was in office, we generally did not speak ill of one another publicly. There's always this, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, he was really big on having a decorum. He would never bash any former mayor or current mayor, and he would never bash an alderman. And that was just like, that was the culture when I was there. And then it started changing in 2019.
Now, Rahm Emanuel, behind the scenes, I don't think it's any secret, was rather vocal and used colorful language.
Yes, he did.
But publicly, what you just said, you know, about decorum, our current mayor, like him or not, good or bad, he has bashed, I guess we could use that word, his predecessors, or at least some of them, very publicly and very repeatedly, actually. Also, some of the votes. I mean, he said, Mayor Johnson, let's raise everyone's taxes. Not quite that way. And how many votes did he get for that?
He got zero votes.
Has that ever happened?
I don't believe it has. The rule I learned as a politician was, when I presented an ordinance, I never would have it go before city council for a full vote unless I knew all the votes. So I would not be surprised. That is the work of a wise alderman. So when there were zero votes, I was surprised. I did not understand it because that goes against the grain of what wise politicians do. He may have a good reason for it, but I don't understand it.
He must have known that it was not going to go his way. Maybe he didn't know there would be zero, but he must have known that things were not going to go his way in that regard. So, yeah, why would he bring that up? Now, Alderman Hopkins was on the show last week. And I asked him about the snap curfews. The mayor rejected that. He vetoed what City Hall did, which was to approve them. The mayor said, I'm going to use my veto, which doesn't happen often, but he certainly has a right to do it. So he vetoed. And now the alderman said he's going to override or try to override that veto, which hasn't been done since one of the mayor dailies anyway. But anyway, for a very long time.
Yes.
Do you think he's got any shot at success?
So this would be probably the biggest test for a mayor to override a veto. My understanding about politics is I would never override a veto if I knew I didn't have the votes. So If he's going to override that veto, he will have already had a whip counting up the votes before he does it. Do you think
he might?
Well, if he calls for a vote, he better. But he surprised me with the zero votes before.
Yeah, but I'm talking about Alderman Hopkins trying to override the veto that the mayor put in place. My question isn't so much a political one, will he have the votes? My question is about the ordinance or proposed ordinance itself. I mean, what the heck? I mean, we saw last night right here where we are. I wasn't here to see it, but I've seen the video of one of those street takeovers where these cars, I forget what you call them, but the cars were going around in a circle. There were fireworks happening. To my knowledge, no one got hurt. The police, sadly, did not have control of the situation, but brings up another issue. To some extent, we're handcuffing the police, so they cannot control that situation. Can you comment on all of that?
So when I was an alderman, if there was a vote coming up and all my African-American colleagues voted one way and all the white my white colleagues were voting another way, it would give me pause, like, what's going on? They're seeing something that I'm not seeing because I'm a white man. In this particular situation, we had African-American alderwomen and aldermen who supported Brian Hopkins' ordinance, including Alderwoman Jeanette Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Alderwoman Pat Dowell, who very openly supported Mayor Johnson.
And a lot of community groups also in the neighborhood that Mayor Johnson lives and is talking about, they are supportive of the snap curfews, saying that it's better for these young children not to get into trouble, and this is a way to get them off the streets so they are safer.
Yeah, Alderwoman Monique Scott said, I just won't allow my daughter to go there. I mean, absolutely not. She's one of my favorite members of city council, and she's very outspoken. But I think there's something else that's not being addressed, and that is for individuals in their teens and 20s who are going out and causing all this chaos, there's something else going on. This is not normal behavior. It isn't. I came from a single-parent household. My mom had 8 kids, and it was tough on my mom, but I didn't get in that kind of trouble because I knew my neighbors would speak up and I would catch holy hell from them. So I just did not do that kind of a thing. This is something different. We have children that can't be controlled. What is going on in their lives that this is happening? It's not just we need more stuff to do. There's something else that's going on that we're not identifying and addressing.
Here's the social worker and you come out.
Yes.
But what's more, Naperville is experiencing these issues.
Yes.
And they're happening, popping up all over the country.
All over the country so, around the same time.
So you are suggesting there is something sociologically behind all this?
Yes. There's a ACE test. It's Accelerated Childhood Events. And it looks at 10 things that can happen to a child under 18, but especially under 3 years of age, that if these things happen, this child has experienced severe trauma. And under 3 years of age, it has a neurological impact on their brain development. And so I was able to cope with my dad's death because I had a lot of friends who had 2 parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so all my friends had 2 parents. These are children who aren't coping well, and all their friends are from a single parent. I'm not bashing single parent households because I'm from one myself, but I needed the parents to provide support for me, not my friends. And these children don't have it. And we need to look at that.
Some of the texts that come in, one person wants to know, sounds like he's running for office again. And another says, I wish he would run for office again. So that's very nice. What are you doing? And another says, what is he doing now? So what are you doing now?
I'm writing a book on Chicago, Chicago politics. And
not Chicago pizza?
Not Chicago pizza, nothing with ketchup on it. but this is looking from a...
Who puts ketchup on pizza, by the way?
No.
You meant tomato sauce.
I once had a photo of me joking about it, but it was a photo of me eating a hot dog with mayonnaise on it.
What?
And people were just aghast.
Actually, I would be too.
I did grow up eating mayonnaise on hot dogs.
That's against the law.
But I grew up in Houston.
Do you think that the children should be the parents or the adult who is responsible for those children should be held responsible?
Well, the problem is a lot of the parents are also have experienced horrible trauma themselves. So that's what makes it more difficult.
Yeah, but when they break into a store, when they shoot somebody, they're creating other trauma for innocent people.
So we need to provide support not only for the child. And I, as a social worker, I assess children for abuse and neglect. But it's one thing to have that child, you know, experiencing abuse and neglect and outside that parameters of their family so they can grow up in a supportive environment. But sometimes they go right back to that that chaos in their family. And so we need to provide support to these parents who also have experienced neurological impairment due to the trauma that they've experienced. And I'm talking really bad trauma that many people just kind of take for granted that they have normal childhood.
I wish we had more time because I'm not sure that all of these kids causing their kids, causing all this trouble, have had trauma in their lives, but they're just looking at their phones and saying, this is where we're going, and this is what we're doing, and this is what all their friends are doing.
You know,
I don't know.
It's really just a small percentage, but they're making a lot of noise.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Alderman James Kappelman, former Alderman James Kappelman, 46th Ward, thank you for coming in, and happy Gay Pride to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. He's a great guy, and the great lady, Karen Conti, is here next.